Hey, everyone. This is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is number 66, and what we're going to talk about today is seven reasons to worship with your children. There is a trend in our culture today and in the churches of separating children out for their own different worship services and having a worship service for young people and a worship service for older people and having two different kinds of services and all those kind of things. That's a real trend in the churches today. And what we're going to talk about today is bucking that trend and some reasons why it's good that your children worship with you in church. So this is primarily pertaining to those who are churchgoers, but hopefully it'll be beneficial to everyone who is listening when it comes to basic concepts about training children. And so it should be a good show for you. Before we do that, I want to take care of some introductory business. First of all, our affiliate focus for today is 48 Days. That's Dan Miller's organization. The reason I like 48 Days to the Work You Love ministry or business is because the information he has over there is very informative, very, very helpful in helping you be able to either land the job that you want or be able to start the business that you want. And he's got workbooks over there. He's got books. He's got materials on his website, all different kinds of things. He's got a network of other business and entrepreneur people, and it's just a great resource over there. So check out 48 Days and link up with him over there through the website. You can get to his affiliate link or the affiliate link on the Legacy Podcast in the center right column. Click on that and then access his resources that he has over there at 48 Days Store. Also, I want to make sure that you are following us. And the best way that you can do that is making sure that you are a registered user of the Legacy Podcast. That will enable you to get all of the updates as they happen to the website. So any time I put out a blog or a podcast or anything like that, if you're a registered user, you will get that through email, let you notify of that. Of course, if you're a subscriber to iTunes or some other subscribing RSS feed, then you will be able to receive those, of course, as soon as you download. But nonetheless, it's nice to be registered. It also enables you to provide comments to each of the podcasts. I would encourage you to provide comments. That way, it helps build the audience, build the growing community, and helps one another dialogue with each other on these things, and that's encouraging. If you have something you want to send me, some information you want to send me, whether it's something you think I need to be doing differently or a topic suggestion or an interview of somebody, anything like that, then I would encourage you to give me some feedback. Best way to do that is steve@thelegacypodcast.com. And then also I ask that you would give us a review on iTunes, and that will enable us to move up in the rankings there and be found by more people. I do hope that you are sharing the Legacy Podcast with your friends and family and others who might have some interest in it so that we can continue to grow the audience. I appreciate those of you who are doing. I appreciate those who are listening and continuing to download. And I'm working hard to try to make it a beneficial thing for you. And so that is good. Finally, if you like the show and you want to support the show, the best way to do that is by becoming a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner program is $30 a year. And with that, you have access to the members only site, the Legacy Partner site, and that enables you to have over $50 worth of value, some vendor resources that are there, and some reductions to their memberships or their costs. And I've got more to come to that. And then also, you're able to support the show at less than 25 cents an episode. So I appreciate those of you who are supporting the show through the Legacy Partners program. And with that, that wraps up the introductory segment. So let's talk about the seven reasons to worship with your kids. As I mentioned in the introductory segment, I think there's a trend in our culture, particularly in churches and a lot of times in larger churches, to have different worship services for different aged people. And it even goes into adults, where you have contemporary worship for the young adults, and then you've got the traditional worship for some of the senior adults. And we have divided up the churches such that the worshiping together multi-generationally is not happening. And this is detrimental to families and young children particularly. And one of the things that is most egregious is that the children are separating out into their own worship service. And sometimes you'll have churches that will maybe come together for the singing portion or what they call the worship portion. And when it comes time for the Bible study or the sermon or however it is, then the younger ones are released to go back and to have their own Bible time or something like that. And what I want to do is I want to provide you with some reasons why it's important to buck that trend and to worship together as a family. So the first one is that the children learn from your example. You know, they're able to watch you worship. What a great privilege it is for children to see how you worship God. And I think sometimes we neglect to think or we fail to realize the impact that an example can be. You know, we say pictures are worth 1,000 words. What is an example to somebody? What is that worth? You know, we could teach all the time what it is to worship God, but then when we see somebody worshiping God, that really brings it to light. And so our kids are able to follow our examples. You know, it's interesting, but I have had several of my children who, when they were, you know, 4 or 5 years old, they played church. And my oldest boy did that. And I think Samuel, I don't remember which ones they were that have done that, but several of them have done that at different ages where they, you know, get a Bible and hymn book together and they pretend like they're the preacher or they're worshiping or something like that. Where did they learn that from? They learned that from worshiping together as a family and watching me worship and watching other people worship. It wasn't something different than, you know, what the adults were doing because they've always been in adult worship. And so they haven't had something separate from that. And that's a great thing to be able to have that as a background and as a resource for the children. So they learn from our example. And that's one of the reasons. Number two is, they learn more than you might think. I think sometimes we think that the sermon or the worship service or whatever it might be is over the heads of the young people. And we think that as a result of that, we need to create a different worship service for the kids, or we need to have a different avenue for them to learn because, you know, they learn differently. And so they can't handle a 30-minute message from the pulpit. And so we've got to have, you know, VeggieTales on the video in the back or whatever it might be. And that's real unfortunate that we think that way, because children pick up a lot more than you might think. If you don't think this, then have a really important conversation in front of your children. You and your husband and you, or your wife and you, have a, you know, really important conversation in front of them. And they will be listening. They'll be listening very, very carefully to that. And you can ask them later what they had heard, and they will be able to repeat much of what they have heard if they were listening. And so the same thing is true in church. They might not understand how it all works together. They might not understand, you know, all the aspects of it. They might not be able to even follow it in an outline. But they're learning some of the vocabulary. They're learning to be able to listen. They're learning some of the way in which the message is communicated. They're hearing the good news. They're hearing the Bible read. And all those things, they take in a lot more than what we give them credit for. And so this is another reason why it's important to worship together as a family. Number three is they are trained to worship by you. You know, it's a tragedy that we would send our kids to somebody else to teach them how to worship when we are right there with them to worship with them. You know, we're the ones that can be there if they're worshiping with us to show them how to look up in the hymnal, how to sing from the hymn book, or we're there to show them where the Bible verse is so they can at least open it up, their Bible, and follow along. Even if they can't read, they can at least open up their Bible to the same passage. And you know, we're the ones who are able to be there to show them how to take notes of the message, or, you know, how to put money into the offering. I mean, what a great opportunity it is for us to train them on how to worship if they're with us. We can't do that if they're sent to the back to worship among their peers in a pseudo worship service designed for the children. And so we train them to worship, and what a great privilege that is. And then number four is, they become a blessing to others in the church. I think that sometimes we think, particularly when our children are younger, we think that they are an interruption to the church service. And sometimes, you know, if our children are noisy, especially if it's a baby or something like that, and they drop something on the floor, or they cry, or they whine, or something like that, you know, you can hear that reverberate through all the church, and it always seems louder when it's your child, doesn't it? And yet, when when that is heard, you might have a few looks from some of the people in the congregation. And of course, when that happens, you think, oh man, I need to take the child out. But a lot of times that's not the case. And a lot of times that, you know, the people are looking over there because they're curious, but they don't really want the child to be taken out. And, you know, I have found over and over again, particularly the grandmother and great-grandmother, great-grandfather, grandfather, that age group loves to have children in the worship service. It reminds them when they were children and when they had their children, because, you know, it wasn't long ago that it was totally acceptable and totally common for you to go to church and everybody worship together. It's only been recently that they've divided up the worship services into various groups. And so you can be a blessing by bringing your children and worshiping together as a family, because it's multi-generational. And so the seniors that are in the worship service, they are revitalized by having young people there, having children there. It's a blessing for them to be able to see that. Plus, the children are being able to see the grandparents and that generation being able to worship. You know, there's a lot of that generation, the World War II generation, that kind of thing, grandparent generation, who they're not around their grandchildren because their grandchildren moved away, or their children have moved away, that kind of thing. And so they're not around them. And so, they are really revitalized. They look at the young children as, you know, almost like their own. And so they can really relate to that. And so what a blessing it is. But, you know, when we separate out our children into a different worship service, it leaves vacant that ministry that can be done by our children to that generation and to other generations as well, as they participate in worship itself. You know, it encourages that generation to be able to see the children worshiping. It helps them to see that, you know, they are passing a baton. They are seeing another generation raised up that will be able to carry on the ministry that they have contributed to in that church. And so what a blessing that can be. Number five is that we're able to train the children up rather than dumb them down. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. You know, our goal in child rearing is to produce mature adults. We don't want our children to remain children forever. We want them to grow up. We want them to mature. We want them to become young adults. And the only way that they are really able to do that is if they do young adult things, if they do adult-like things. The more time, the more energy they spend in doing adult things, the more adult-like they will become. And yet it seems like we continually try to dumb down things, or continually try to make things of lower quality, and we like to dumb down, child them down, so that, you know, we think that they are more relevant to that age group. When in the long run, what we need to do, we need to draw them up. We need to pull them up, not come down to their level. And as I mentioned in one of the earlier points, is that, you know, they learn more than what we think. And if we're able to draw them up, we're able to bring them to maturity much faster. You know, people usually rise to the level of the people around them. And so if you put children in a group with a bunch of other children, they're not going to rise very high. They're going to conform to those around them, and they will not mature very much. But when you put them in the context of a multi-generational worship service, they then are able to mature greater and grow stronger in maturity. You know, this is true in the concept of, rising to the level of the people around you. You know, there's been statistics done economically and financially saying that you will earn, on average, what the four closest people to you are earning. And so for some reason, we have this ability to kind of conform ourselves to those that are around us. And it's true economically, and it's true spiritually. You know, the scriptures say, he who walks with the wise will be wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. And so this proverb is played out when it comes to worshiping the Lord. If we put our children in a group of fools, all they'll become is greater fools. And it'll be really hard for them to grow to maturity to be able to worship the Lord. But when we put them in with a multi-generational context and they're able to be drawn up into maturity and drawn up into adulthood as they worship God as adults, they will then be able to grow in that level. You know, it's not surprising that we lose so many children after they get out of high school. And it's because, and now because of that, what's happening is people are saying, well, we need to have college groups in our churches. And then we need to have, you know, young 30s groups or young 20s groups. And they're trying to continually to cater to a younger age group, trying to keep them from developing and maturing and becoming real adults. And yet when we conclude that, when we include them with the rest of the adults in the worship service, they then get assimilated into that and they get drawn up and built up into mature adults. And then number six is they learn to love true worship. You know, Proverbs 22:7 says that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. The concept that we repeat that verse over and over again many times in child rearing, and, you know, it's been interpreted a lot of different ways. The best way that I have of understanding it is to understand that the word train up is the same word that's used for what Hebrew parents would do with their children when they would teach them how to like food and how they would, you know, they didn't have processed food where you go down and buy a Gerber's apple food or Gerber's green beans at the grocery store. They had to basically make that food palatable to the child. And so oftentimes what Hebrew parents would do is they would take a little bit of food in their mouth, they would chew it up some and until it's nice and soft and gummy, and then they'd put it into the mouth of the child. And that was a way of preparing their palate. And so the idea is that if you train up a child according to that taste, according to the tastes that you have, they will then not depart from it as they get older. And so that proverb speaks very directly to the whole concept of having a family-integrated, multi-generational worship service. Because if we're able to give the taste for true worship to our children, they won't want something artificial. They won't want something that is dumbed down. They won't want something that is catered to their age. They're going to want something that is adult-like in worship. And so when we're able to do that, that is beneficial. And so we need to give our children a taste for true worship, because when we do, they won't depart from it. And so, you know, they learn to love true worship when they worship as adults. And then number seven, they learn that they are not the center of worship, but God is. You know, oftentimes if you go to one of these segregated worship services where they have, you know, a children's church in the back or something like that, many times those services are so catered to the young people so that they can understand it, or so that it's nice and cutesy so they'll be able to memorize it, or, you know, something like that. And it's so catered upon them, they lose the concept of who the worship is supposed to be for. It's not supposed to be for the children. It's supposed to be for God. God is the one who is worthy of our worship. And so when we dumb down the worship, or when we cater to the children in the worship service, what we are doing is that we are actually minimizing the worship of God, and we are placing the child as the emphasis of worship, and that is backwards. And so when they're able to worship together with adults, they're able to worship in multi-generational, when an integrated setting, the focus can be on God in worship, and the children learn that they are not the center. In fact, you know, they are having to assimilate themselves to others and to worship God according to His standards and His practices. So those are seven reasons that I have, you know, concluded, seven reasons that I have looked at as to why it's important to include children in the worship of the churches. And so if you are in a church where there is segregated worship for various ages, I really would encourage you, if it's possible, talk with your leadership or something like that, and begin to include your children with you in worship, to not segregate them out. Ask if you cannot participate in that. And of course, you need to train your children to be able to sit so that they're not distracting. They're not distractions. You do that, of course, through family devotion. So if you haven't done that, then I would encourage you to look back at one of the previous episodes where I talked about family devotions and how to have family worship. That's a training ground for, you know, worship, corporate worship in the church. And so let me encourage you to worship together with your children. Teach them how to worship. Give them a taste and a love for true and abiding worship of the living and true God. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?